wouldn't hurt to stop just during your busy schedule every now and then and tell him that you love him. The Bible said we love him because he first loved us. Had it not been for him loving us, we'd be in a world of hurt. We wouldn't be saved because of our goodness or our knowledge or our looks or our power or our might. The only reason we're on our way to heaven tonight is because he loved us. For God so loved the world. Isn't it amazing that a perfect and holy God would love a bunch of imperfect sinners like us? That ceases to amaze me how God could love somebody like me, and I know me, and then I think about the fact that he knows me better than I know myself. And yet he loves me anyway. I appreciate that good singing tonight. Won't you take your Bible and turn with me to Colossians chapter number 3. Y'all pray for me. Ever since we got here tonight, it seems like my voice is trying to slip away from me. But I do believe I have a message that the Lord would have me to share with you tonight. Can y'all hear me okay in the back, Brother Stacy? Do I need to be turned up a little bit? Nope, I'm good. Colossians chapter number 3. If you've got your Bible, say amen when you get there. Colossians chapter number 3. I want to talk to you about something tonight that it took me a long time to realize and to deal with in my Christian life simply because of the way I was raised and the way I grew up. Now, I'm not going to knock the way I was raised, and I'm not going to knock the way I grew up. Thank God for the church I grew up in. Thank God for the people. Am I ringing? I'm ringing. It's not just me. I thought it was my ears. Thank God for the people I grew up around and the Christians that God put in my life. I thank the Lord for them every day. Had it not been for them, I don't know where I would be. But I'm afraid that growing up through the years, we weren't given a balanced diet. Does that make sense? We were given a one-sided kind of deal, if you will. And I want to kind of deal with that just for a little bit tonight and try to help you as you prepare to approach this New Year's. Just this morning, we talked about some questions we must ask ourselves if we're going to set out to meet a resolution or a goal in our life. We got to figure out where we are and who we are, amen, what we're going to do, and whether or not we'll serve him, amen. We need to ask ourselves these questions, but I want you to look with me at Colossians chapter number 3 tonight. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 12. I want you to note very carefully the first two words of verse number 12. The Bible said, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you this evening, God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, thank you for those who have trusted you as Savior today. Thank you for those who have just missed hell, God. We bless your name for that. Lord, thank you for the singing, God, and the sweet spirit here already tonight. Now, Lord, it's preaching time, and Lord God, it won't be a bit of good if the preacher don't show up, so I pray you'd touch us and help us tonight. Lord, touch my throat. Help me to be a help and a blessing to our people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight, I'll take as my title the first two words of verse number 12. Put on. put on. Now, there's a difference between a fake and somebody who's putting something on. Now, I grew up in the 70s. Some of you say amen right there. I grew up in the 70s in the heat of the independent Baptist movement. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. Happy Valley Baptist Church is an independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James. Are y'all listening? That's the kind of church we are. But with that kind of church goes a stigma or a dogma of being mean and having a bunch of rules and not a lot of love. When I grew up, I never heard about what I needed to put on. All I ever heard was about what I had to take off. Some of y'all get upset when I ask you to wear a tie in the choir, and I ask our ladies to wear a dress in the choir. You get upset. You think that's ridiculous. I ask you to cut your hair and look like a man if you're going to sing in the choir or take a leadership role in the church. And oh my soul, I've committed a crime against humanity. Let me say something to you tonight. I believe in standards. I believe a man ought to look like a man, and a lady ought to look like a lady. When you turn around and walk out the room, we ought to be able to tell the difference. Amen. I'm not going to say too much right here, but you need to get over some of that stuff. Yeah. Amen. If you go to the Creekside Country Club, Brother Allen, you remember we done that to play golf. They run me off. I had on a brand spanking new pair of Wranglers. Brand new. Brand new. Still had the crease in them. And they made me leave because I didn't have on dress pants to play golf at the Paulding County cow pasture of all places. I had to go to the pro shop and buy a $50 pair of pants so I could play golf with the men in the church. I hate golf. It's okay if the golf course has a dress code, but God forbid the church require you to. I don't know, but one of our men told me some of the upper echelon, if you can call them that, strip clubs in Atlanta won't let you in if you don't have on a collared shirt. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. A dress code where people take off their clothes. Stupidest thing I ever heard in my life, man. I'd be saying, look, what's it matter if I got on a t-shirt? What's she got on? Amen. I'm not going to stay right there very long. Amen. But I grew up in a day when all we heard, Sister Glenda, she'll tell you, we grew up, all we heard is what you can't do. I wish some of y'all who have a problem dressing right in the choir and think I'm a little bit radical, I wish you grew up when I did. When I grew up, everything was sin. Everything was wrong. If you had a television in your house, you was wicked. Some of y'all talk to me that remember that. I'm talking about preachers preached against wearing a colored shirt. I heard them. If you had on a colored shirt, you was a liberal. If you had on wire-framed glasses, you was a liberal. And I can't remember which was liberal, which was not. Dress shoes or cowboy boots. One of the two was liberal. I can't remember which. Now listen, I'm not knocking the way I grew up, thank God for it, but some of the stupidest stuff I ever heard of in my life. I've seen preachers take a sledgehammer and beat a television to smithereens on a platform. And you got a problem with wearing a tie in the choir. Now when we get saved, stay with me tonight, when we get saved, some things ought to change. And there's some things we ought to put off. But if that's all I ever do is put off, if I take this bottle of water tonight and every little drop in this thing represents some kind of sin or something that's wrong, and I put off and 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 put off, pretty soon I'm not going to have anything left. All I'm left with is an empty bottle. A lot of times what we see in independent Baptist churches is a religion that people cannot live. Y'all don't fall out with me tonight. I'm not against rules. We got to have them. Amen. Now, we don't run nobody off. I grew up, if a lady showed up in pants, they wouldn't let her in the door. We're not that way. Amen. One guy told me, he said, I heard you can't come to your church if you're wearing jeans. I said, you heard a lie. Amen. Man, we let people in as long as they're covered. Amen. And some of you that are in a leadership position ought to set an example for others. Amen. You shouldn't get mad when I ask you to dress nice to look and sing in the choir. You're the first thing they see when they come in the door. Amen. We ought to look sharp. We ought to do our best. Amen. Amen. But people are welcome in this church. I don't care how they're dressed. Amen. I ever hear one of y'all say something to a visitor, you're going to deal with me. Amen. I'd rather them come in not dressed right and get saved and go to heaven when they die than come to church not dressed right and somebody run them off at the door and them never hear the gospel. Now listen to me. Don't go out of here and say, Brother Eddie is against standards. No, I'm for standards. I think we ought to look the part that we say we are. We ought to look like Christians. There's places we ought not go. Amen. You ain't got no business in a dirty move. Amen. You ain't got no business in a secular concert. Amen. You ain't got no business in a bar. Amen. Say amen right there. You ain't got no business in there. You're a child of God. That ain't where God's people go. We ought to gather where God's people gather. Say amen right there. Amen. We ought to dress like Christians. I remember years ago I was at Walmart and we had some t-shirts made up and they had the church's name on them and all that. And the first thing I saw was not the t-shirt, it was the rear end hanging out from under the shorts. And then I looked up and saw the name on the shirt. I tapped the lady on the shoulder and I said, I'm tickled to death you're representing our church, but I'm not proud the way you're representing it. I said, if you're going to wear that top, you need something to cover that bottom. I give you my best Joel Osteen smile tonight. Amen. Amen. We ought to act like Christians and we ought to look like Christians. But if we're not careful, we get so caught up in what we're to put off and what we're to do away with, and you ought to do away with sin. You ought to be working on that. Some of you ought to be working on your mouth. Some of us ought to be working on our heart. Amen. You don't hear much preaching about clean living anymore, but we ought to live clean as Christians. But if all we do is put off, all we do is quit this and quit that and quit this, what good's it going to do if you get off drugs but you don't get something to replace it? Amen. Amen. And that's the problem. I always was told what I cannot do, but I was never told what I could do to replace what I got rid of. Amen. Listen, man, you're not going to live long empty. You're going to fill that bottle with something. And I want to tell you tonight, as Christians, we know what we ought to put off. I don't have to stand here and tell you premarital sex is a sin. I don't have to stand here and tell you tonight abortion's a sin. I don't have to stand here and tell you sodomy and homosexuality is a sin. You know that stuff. Alcohol and drugs, you know that's a sin. And you ought not to be doing it. I didn't get enough amens right there. You know that stuff. But what good is it if we get rid of all that and we don't replace it with anything else? Here's the problem with trying to quit this or that. We're not replacing it with the right thing. It needs a replacement. Did you know for every fruit of the flesh, the Lord has a better and opposite fruit of the Spirit? God's got a replacement that is better. I remember when I got saved, I said, man, I ain't going to get to have any fun anymore. I can't do this. I can't do that. And then I got to realizing what I could do and what I could have and how much better it was than what I used to have. Woo! Hallelujah. Man, I can have the greatest time in the world on Sunday and wake up Monday without a hangover. Amen. I can wake up on Monday and go, I don't have to go, oh, Lord, what did I do last night? Amen. But we've got to learn to put on the right thing. Ephesians chapter number 6 tells us we ought to put on the whole armor of God. that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's some things as Christians you and I need to put on. And we need to work on putting on those things. Now listen, you can't put on the old clothes and the new. One's got to come off before the other goes on. Amen. Now, I want to look at a few things tonight. Some things that we need to put on in our Christian life. And I don't have a whole lot of voice and my throat's killing me. I'll give you these as fast as I can and we'll go to the house. But I don't want this just to be another sermon. I want you to get it tonight. I want you to get it tonight. Number one, we need to put on new deeds. New deeds. D-E-E-D-E-S. Deeds. We need, did I spell that right? We need to put on new deeds, new actions. Amen. We ought not to act the way we acted before we got saved. Before we got saved, listen, before I got saved, you do me wrong, I cut your tires. Serious heart attack. You go out and find your car sitting flat. I knock your windshield out. Y'all listening? And if you had a good radio, I'd take it. I told one of my buddies one night, he's in heaven now. I came home from Florida several years ago and preached his funeral. We was riding around town. And I'll tell you how long ago it's been. Cassettes was new. How many of y'all remember 8-tracks? I had an 8-track tape player in my Volkswagen. I had a cut-down doodle bug with mud tires on the back. We was riding around the plaza, and I seen one of my buddies, and he had a cassette player. I said, I heard that music play. I said, let me borrow that tape. And he took it out, and I said, no, I ain't got no cassette player. He said, you want one? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, meet me back here in 2 hours. That's the kind of life I lived, amen? But when I got saved, things ought to change. Things ought to change. My deeds ought to change after I got saved. I want you to look again at verse number 12. There ought to be a change in our lifestyle. Everything today is considered a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Homosexuality is not a lifestyle, it's a sin. Are you listening? A lot of the stuff that they call lifestyles aren't lifestyles at all. It's sin. But our lifestyle, if you will, ought to change when we get born again. There ought to be some things, some old deeds put off and some new deeds put on. Somebody ought to look at us and say, hey, they don't act like they used to. Amen. Would you look back at verse number 12, and I want to show you some things we need to put on. Listen, the Bible said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Listen, this is talking about the fruits of the Spirit. We need to put on the fruit of the Spirit. Now, here's the problem I noticed after I got saved. And I realized this, that not only did I need to put off some things, but I needed to put on some things. Here's the problem I came up with. Brother Tommy, let me have your jacket. Y'all stay with me. I'm a baby Christian now. I just got saved. And somebody said, you need to put on the fruit of the Spirit. I read that in the Bible. I got to put this thing on. It didn't fit. It didn't fit. Man, when I got saved, I wasn't automatically some super saint. I was still Eddie White. I still thought like Eddie White. Are you listening? I still had the mentality of Eddie White. But the Bible said to put this thing on. The only problem is this fruit of the Spirit, this meekness and humbleness and kindness and all this foo-foo garbage. It don't fit me. I'm a redneck. You do me wrong, I'll whoop you. It don't fit me. It's too big. So here's the problem. We try this thing on and we go, man, that don't suit my lifestyle. That ain't who I am. The answer is not take it off. The answer is grow into it. Are you listening? Keep it on till it fits. Are we okay tonight? We need to put on the fruit of the Spirit, and we need to wear that thing, and we need to pray that thing, and we need to meditate on that thing till all of a sudden one day we go, oh, fits pretty good. Amen. I'm telling you, a lot of this stuff is new to you when you get saved. And a lot of times older Christians take it for granted that you automatically know everything. I don't. I understand that you need some time to grow in to this new lifestyle. Amen. God doesn't change. I remember my preacher said all the time, when I got saved, my cusser quit. Man, mine didn't. I had to work on it. My flesh was still flesh. My flesh still wanted the world. And I had to grow into this thing. Put on the fruit of the Spirit of God, whether it fits you or not. Let me tell you something. Let's back up there at verse number 12. I could care less about bowels of mercy, kindness. Look at that next one. Humbleness. That's a hard pill to swallow for a new convert. Humbleness. Meekness. Long suffering. Wow. You mean I got to put on all that? Let me tell you something. It's 10 times better than what you took off. Yeah, let me say it again. It's 10 times better than what you took off. It's way better than what you took off. I'm not talking about not being a man. You harm my family, I will hurt you. You come in my door in the middle of the night, uninvited, I will shoot you. Multiple times, Brother Jason said. God made me a man, but then God began to make me a godly man. And I realize is once I start to put these things on and I kind of got used to wearing them a little bit. You know how long it took me to get used to that? If the guy who invented these is in heaven, I doubt he will be. I feel pretty sure he's burning in the pit tonight. But if I get to heaven and meet the guy who invented this thing right here, I'm going to punch him right in the mouth. Took me a long time to get used to wearing a tie. Now I don't even know it's there. Now I don't even know it's there. I remember when I first put on dress pants, I thought, whoo, these things are thin. Walk out in the cold wind, go, whoo, man, I got to have long johns. I used to wear long johns to church with these dress pants on. Why? I'm used to Wranglers. Are y'all listening? Took some getting used to. Took some getting used to. It'll take some getting used to putting on the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Normally when you're full of yourself and full of pride and then you put that off and you go putting on bowels of mercies, kindness and humbleness, man, I'm telling you, bro, that's a different set of clothes. But we're going to have to put on new deeds. Watch verse number 13. Not only put on the fruit of the Spirit. Now watch this one. Some of you are going to have to swallow real hard. Forbearing one another. Let me tell you what that word forbearing means. It means to put up with. Are you listening? It means to put up with. You got anybody in your family you put up with? Amen. Talk to me now. Amen. Now, men don't say amen about your wife or something like that. But I'm talking about family members that you just put up with and you have to. Amen. Because they're family. Amen. I mean people that just annoy you and get under your skin. But you have to forbear or put up with them because they are your family. Amen. Guess what? When you got saved, this became your family. Amen. And not just in this church, but every Christian on the face of this earth is your brother. Somebody say, why y'all say brother and sister? Because that's what we are. Amen. Amen. We're family. I have to put up with your faults and your failures because you're family. Bless their hearts. We had funeral service here on last Tuesday night for Miss Margaret Dunlop, my cousin Stephanie's mother-in-law. And 7 or 8 times during that funeral service, I said something about the Lord calling her home on Christmas Eve morning. I said it over and over and over and over. Nobody said a word. Margaret died on Christmas morning. Nobody said a word except my precious wife. Nobody said a word. My wife said, "You said she died on Christmas Eve morning." She said, "You said it over and over and over and over again." I said, "Oh." I felt like Steve Harvey. I felt like that comedian who announced the wrong Miss Universe. Amen. I said, "Oh, no, surely I didn't do that." She said, "Yeah, you did." And I called Stephanie. I said, "I'm so sorry." She said, "We knew what you meant." You know what they were doing? They were forbearing. I've been in funerals where you didn't mention some family member's name. They got upset and stormed out the door. I made a mistake, the same mistake, 7 or 8 times, and they were just like, "We know what he's talking about." You know what they did? They forbear that. They put up with that because I'm part of the family. And we need to learn to forbear one another. Amen. You say, "I don't like so-and-so. I'm leaving this church and going somewhere else." Guess what? There's going to be somebody that gets on your nerves there, too. There's going to be somebody that gets under your skin there, too. What you may find out, there's somebody that gets on your nerves worse there than it was here. I mean, there's reasons to leave the church. But because you don't like somebody, ain't one of them. I don't come here because I like you. And by the way, I do. But that's not my motive for being here. I'm here because this is where God put me. I'm here because that's where God put me. I don't like everybody he sends through the door. Boy, it got quiet. Man, there's some hard cases coming here. I'm talking about high maintenance. And God sent them here. So you know what? That's okay with me. Are you okay? We got to forbear one another. We got to put on the fruit of the Spirit. We got to put on forbearance. I didn't finish the verse, did I? He said, forbearing one another. Watch the next statement. And what? Say it loud. And forgiving who? One another. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Watch this one. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We need to put on the fruit of the Spirit. We need to put on forgiveness. I'm talking about the deeds done in our flesh. Some of y'all hold a grudge so bad. Some of y'all have the hardest time in the world with forgiving somebody who's done you wrong. You'll never know Christ's likeness till you know forgiveness. He said to forgive them even as Christ has forgiven you. How did Christ forgive you? 100%. He forgave the sins of your past, the sins of your present, and the sins of your future as he shed his blood at Calvary. And by the way, he did it before you ever asked him. The forgiveness of your sins was finished when he said, "Father, it is finished." The only thing lacking was your accepting of that forgiveness. Does that make sense? Man, and that's how we're supposed to forgive one another. People come to me and say, "Preacher, I'm so sorry." And I always say the same thing. I've already forgiven you. I don't need you to ask forgiveness. You may need you to ask forgiveness, but I don't. I realize that people are people and they're going to make mistakes. Now listen to me, that's something I had to learn to put on. That didn't just happen overnight when I got saved. People didn't do my preacher just right. I was funny about my little preacher. People didn't do Brother Earl just right. I won't drag him out in the parking lot or up the backside of that graveyard wide open and beat the brakes off of him. I ain't lying. Brother Earl told me on visitation one night, he said, "Son, you can't whoop everybody that don't like me." I said, "I can." He said, "I didn't mean you couldn't." He said, "I mean you shouldn't." Hey, man, you cross my preacher, I'd take a ball bat to you, man. That's the guy that fed me from the Word of God. Hey, don't mess with him. I had a hard time with that thing of forgiveness. Even in my own family. Even with my own father. But boy, one of the sweetest days in my Christian life is when I forgave my dad. And we begin to have a relationship with one another. I'm telling you, the last 5 years of his life made up for all the years prior to that. It was precious. Thank God for that, man. Thank God I didn't have to stand over my daddy's dead body with bitterness and unforgiveness in my heart. I could not have done it. Amen. We've got some people in here who have yet to put on forgiveness. Amen. Oh, you've put off. You don't go here and you don't go there. You don't drink this and you don't smoke that. But you've got bitterness in your heart. Amen. And that's as wicked as anything you could drink or smoke ever. Amen. And it'll do you as much harm as anything you could drink or smoke. Amen. Or swallow or shoot. Amen. Are we okay tonight? Bitterness will kill you. Unforgiveness will kill you. Amen. Forgiveness works both ways. It benefits those around us, but it also benefits us. Amen. I know, listen to me. I know, I'll hurry, I promise. I know preachers who wouldn't speak if they were in the same room. But yet they want to stand and lead a congregation and tell them how to live. They need to get right with God's what they need to do. I had a guy tell me a couple of years ago, he says, is it true that you preach for so-and-so? I said, yeah, I preach for him every year. Well, I'm sorry, brother. If you preach for him, I can't have you back. I said, fine with me, dude. I ain't looking for nowhere to go. I'm not a politician. God called me to preach, not any man. And I'll preach where God sends me. And I don't care if it hair lips the devil or hair lips the brethren. It is pitiful when the leadership in our churches can't get along. Can't be in the same room together. Amen. Let me tell you something. Your preacher ain't like that. Amen. Amen. I'll preach to the devil. He sat still long enough. Amen. Amen. Somebody got crossways with me because I preached in a church one time that wasn't our denomination. I preached in a Southern Baptist church and the brethren got sideways. I'll preach at St. Mary's Catholic Episcopal, whatever. I'll preach anyway. It's funny they'll get mad at you for preaching to somebody that don't believe exactly like you do, but then support money to go preach in the jail where they got devil worship. Yeah. Amen. Y'all swallow, it'll go down. Bunch of judgmental jerks. Amen. We got to get to the place where we can forgive one another. Amen. I know some preachers who have made mistakes. Watch this. You're looking at one. You say, oh, preacher, what'd you do? Nothing no worse than what you've done. Amen. Man, I fail God just about every day, man, in some way, shape, or form. Hey, sometimes I can't get over the fact of what a failure I am. But I'm glad by His grace and by His mercy that He forgives me over and over and over and over. And if He can forgive me for what I've done, bless God, I can forgive you for what you've done. Somebody needs to get on this altar tonight and ask God to help you to put on forgiveness. Think about Jesus. Where would you be had He not been so forgiven? First words out of His mouth on Calvary. I'm going to preach on this in a couple of weeks. My little brother reminded me of a message I preached a long time ago, and I started researching that a little bit, and I'm going to revisit it. I preached on the cross. Do you understand what it took for Jesus to open His mouth on Calvary? Do you understand that? Hanging on a Roman cross, you died from suffocation. As they hung there, the weight of the body put tension on the pericardial muscles. I can't even say the word. I'll get it right before I preach it. But I promise you, it choked them literally to death. And for Christ to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they... Do you know what it took for Him to say that? He had to put all His weight. Let's figure He's an average-sized man. Let's figure He's a perfect man. And He weighs 165 pounds. For Him to say, to make that one statement, He had to take all His weight and push Himself up on the nail that was driven through His legs. Just to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't think Jesus hung at Calvary with bitterness in His heart. I believe he hung at Calvary with 100% perfect forgiveness for those who nailed him there. You got to realize it wasn't just a, Father, forgive him. Man, it took everything in his being, everything in his power to push against that spike in his feet and stand up on it and say, Father, forgive them. Imagine what it took to forgive you of your sins. Couldn't we at least forgive somebody for Facebooking us? I'm still praying it gets the flu, some kind of virus. I pray it get AIDS and die, amen. Let's go back to mail. Get a stamp. Pony Express, I don't care. Anything be better than that mess, amen. Put on the fruit of the Spirit. Put on forgiveness. Who do you need to forgive tonight? Who do you need to forgive to get past where you are? To go any further in your walk with God? Who do you need to forgive in your heart tonight? You say, well, they've never asked me. What if they never do? Are you going to let that hinder you from joy and peace and happiness? Jesus didn't say forgive them if they ask. He just said forgive them. Did you know Jesus forgave me before I ever accepted his forgiveness? Some of y'all having a problem with that. At Calvary, he said, Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest that to do. Gavest me to do. That included saving me. Don't die on me. I wasn't actually saved till I accepted the gift. It wasn't mine till I took it. But the work for it was already done. We got to put on some new deeds. We need to put on the fruit of the Spirit, the forgiveness of the saints. Look at verse number 14. Verse number 14. I may just preach this one point and quit. The Bible said, and above all these things, put on what? Charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We need to put on with these new deeds the fruit of the Spirit, the forgiveness of the saints, and the fragrance of the Savior. The fragrance of the Savior. Turn your Bibles over. Stay in Colossians, but hold your finger there. But go to John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. Look at verse number 35. The fragrance of the Savior. The fragrance. That's what he made you think of when he was around you. Verse 35. The Bible said, by this, the Lord said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Why? If you have love one to another. He said in that putting on, we're supposed to put on charity, which is the bond of peace. A lot of these new translations will change that word charity to love. No sense in doing that. Charity's love in a stronger form. Charity's love, you could include the fleshly love out there in the world, but you can't include it in that word right there. You can't include it right there. Somebody might say, I love Budweiser. You don't have charity toward it. Love gives itself. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. We can read it tonight if you want to. Amen. We ought to put on love for one another. When we shake one another's hand and say, I love you, it's not a wishy-washy thing. Now, I've got family in this room tonight. My little brother's here tonight, and my nieces are here tonight. And I hug their necks, and I kiss them girls on the head, and I tell them I love them. And I mean it with all my heart. They're my family. My daughter and my son-in-law, my grandbabies are here tonight. Caroline crawled up on the couch and slept with me the other night, and we just cuddled. Man, that was the sweetest thing in the world. I love that child because she's my blood. She's my family. But I've got to love you like that, too. In spite of your faults, in spite of your failures, didn't Jesus love you that way? Most of you know you jacked up from the floor up, make God want to throw up, but yet he loves you anyway. Amen. He loves you in spite of yourself. We need to put on the fruit of the Spirit. I'm talking about new deeds, how we act, how we interact. Amen. Some of y'all chewing one another's heads off and fighting and bickering and fussing. And I know families do that. And we're going to have disagreements. But they shouldn't stay that way. Amen. It ought to be made right. Some of these girls growing up in this church, Candace and Melissa, Lord have mercy. They as best friends one week and arch enemies the next. Denise and Barbara would want to get involved, and I'd tell them, hush, leave them girls alone. As long as you can keep Mama out of it, things be all right. It'd never fail, would it, Brother Anthony? It'd either be Melissa or Candace, one of the two. They'd go get the other one during the altar call or during the singing. They'd go to the altar, and they'd just, boo, I'm sorry. They're grown, and they're still that way. Are y'all listening? Amen. We're going to have disagreements. Everybody in your family doesn't always do what you like or what you expect. But we're to forgive one another and love one another anyway. Amen. Y'all still all right? With these putting on these new deeds, that it include the fruit of the Spirit, the forgiveness of the saints, the love or the fragrance of the Savior. And then verse number 15. Verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful, and be ye thankful. We ought to put on the fullness of the spiritual life and let God rule in our hearts. Too many of you are in charge. You're in charge in your home. You're in charge on your job. You're in charge in your personal life. You ought to let Jesus have the reins. You ought to let Jesus take the throne of your heart. If you keep driving, you're going to wreck it. Amen. Amen. Listen, there's some things we ought to put on. We ought to put on some new deeds. I'll give you these last two real quickly and we'll go. We ought to put on new deeds, actions. We ought to put on new direction. We ought to put on new direction. You know what repentance means? You know, you've heard the phrase, repent of your sins. There's one thing to ask forgiveness of your sins, and then repenting of your sins, totally different thing. Amen. Repenting of your sins means, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been going the wrong way, but I repent. I'm going to turn and go the other way. Are we okay? Some of you need to change your direction. I watch your lives and I listen and I hear your conversation, and if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to wind up in a mess. I told a fellow here a while back, and I love him with all of my heart. I said, if you don't stop where you are and you don't turn around and go away from that direction, you're going to destroy your life. Thank God he heard my advice, because so many have not. Amen. Our direction ought to change. Would you agree? Hey, listen, in our new direction, you say, well, which way am I supposed to go? Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Last scripture I'll have you turn to and we'll go home, I think. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Most of you can quote this verse of scripture. Here's where you get your direction. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What are we to study? First word of the verse is study. The last three words is what? The word of truth. What is the words of truth? Jesus said, my word is truth. The Bible. The Bible. All these self-help groups and Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Phil and all this garbage. Man, we need Jesus Christ. And we need the Word of God to direct our life. Amen. People all the time saying, boy, I made this decision and I made that decision. Rarely. And I know every little decision, you don't have a scripture and a verse for maybe. But maybe those major decisions in your life, God will guide you through His Word. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. There's things I don't do in my life, not because I hate it, but because the Bible said I shouldn't. Because the Bible said I ought not to. I'll be honest with you, I watch the world and see the things, and I got to be careful. Sometimes I'm a little jealous of them. And my flesh is saying, Well, I wish I could do that. Because there's a part of me that would like to. I was watching TV the other day on the History Channel, some kind of commercial come on, and it was a big bunch in a hillbilly bar somewhere, and they was doing the electric slide. Ain't a whole lot of you know what I'm talking about. There's lion dancing. And I thought, I started to get up in the living room and do it in socks. And the commercial went off. Hey, I can do it. I'm here to tell you I can do it. Don't ask me to prove it. I won't, but I can do it. I have done it before. And there was a part of me thought, boy, that looks like fun. But I know it ain't right. Hey, some preachers that'll tell you sin ain't fun. It's a blast. I'm just being honest. It's a blast. But I can't get away with it. And if you're saved, neither can you. But thank God for the book that directs me away from it. All I'm trying to say is there's things that I do not do and places I do not go, not because some preacher told me, but because the Bible said. Amen. I'm to be in the world, but not of the world. We all right tonight? We ought to have a new direction, and our direction ought to depend. Look at verse number 16, Colossians chapter number 3. The Bible said, let the word of God, or the word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Man, we ought to depend on the word of God. Listen, this book can't get into you until you get into it. Amen. Let me say that again. This book cannot get into you until you get into it. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hey, it's first got to be in there. There have been times people wanted to argue with me and ask me Bible questions, and I come up with scripture. I can't quote a lot of scripture until I need to. And the Lord will just pull that thing up. You know what that is? It's in there. Just because you can't quote it at any given time doesn't mean you don't know it. Amen. The Lord can bring that thing to your remembrance, but the only way He can do that is if you've read it. Yeah. We ought to depend on the Word of God. I'm glad it's dependable. Yeah. I'm glad I don't need a new version every time one comes out. Amen. 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 Thank God this old book still works. I'm talking about the King James Bible. We don't change it. We don't correct it. We don't say a better word would be, or in the Greek it's this. No, we've got it in English right here in front of us. Hallelujah. Depend on the Word of God. Look again at verse number 16. He said, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, or Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, we ought to depend on the Word of God, but we ought to declare the Word of God. What are you saying? We ought to share it with others. We ought to share it with others. Now, if we're not careful, we'll get around. We'll get to talking. Some of us guys, Brother Jason, he's hurt his back dragging that big old deer he killed out of the woods. If we're not careful, we'll sit around. We'll talk about how many deer we've killed and how many we ain't killed. And we'll talk about our trucks and we'll talk about this and we'll talk about that. Hey, we ought to be sharing what we've got out of the Bible with one another. It wouldn't hurt you to have a spiritual conversation with your friends every now and then. It wouldn't hurt you to say, hey, look what I saw in the Bible the other day. Amen. Not that you're trying to preach to everybody. Amen. If we can have carnal conversation, surely we can have spiritual conversation. Amen. Probably the reason you don't have many spiritual conversations is because there ain't no book in you. Right. Boy, getting quiet. I got to quit, I know. Hey, we ought to depend on the Word of God. We ought to declare the Word of God. That word in admonish, I looked it up. It means to instruct or to warn of evil. How about that? Hey, it don't bother me a bit to pull somebody aside and say, hey, that's going to mess you up. I pulled one of our boys aside here a while back and I said, them girls are about to get you. Hey, boys liking girls is a good thing. But it can go over the line. I'm glad our boys like girls and not boys. Amen? Amen. It's okay to hate girls when you're 5, but when you're 15, something wrong with you. Y'all okay? Hey, we ought to admonish one another. We ought to admonish one another and instruct one another. We ought to say, hey, bro, let me give you a scripture I believe be a blessing to you. I ain't talking about it's your job to correct everybody and straighten everybody out. Man is friend. The Bible said, iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man the countenance of his friend. Man, we ought to make one another sharp. Amen. New deeds. Put on new deeds, a new direction. We ought to end that new direction. For it, we need to depend on the Word of God. We need to declare the Word of God, and we need to demonstrate the Word of God. In other words, we need to practice what we preach. We need to practice what we preach. I wonder how many people you work with call you a hypocrite behind your back. Because you say one thing out of your mouth and show something totally different with your actions. Amen. Let's talk about some stuff we need to put on. If we're going to reach our goals and we're going to hit the mark and we want to reach those spiritual goals, we're going to have to put some stuff off. But it's not just putting off. We got to put some things on. We got to balance that thing out, amen? Let me give you this one and I'm done. Put on new deeds, new direction. Put on some new decisions. Put on some new decisions. What about your words? The Bible said in Proverbs, apples of gold, a word fitly spoken as is apples of gold, or as apples of gold and pitchers of silver. I'll get it right in a minute. Man, our words. People say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. I know people who are out of this church right now because of words. Amen. Words that were typed on an idiot computer. Amen. Their feelings are hurt. Amen. You say, well, they're just babies. No, they're people. Amen. Let me say it again. They're people. Amen. And they get their feelings hurt when they're talked about just like you do. We ought to watch our mouth. My grandmother used to say, you would not believe some of the words she threatened to wash my mouth out with soap over. Just slang words. I ain't talking about cuss words. I'm afraid to even say them. I'm afraid she'll resurrect from the grave. Come at me with a bar of ivory soap. I remember holding my mouth over the kitchen sink. We need to watch our words. Words are a good thing. Thank God for the English language. Thank God we can speak and communicate. But words can hurt. But they can also help. Man, there are some people that are a blessing to me. I mean a straight up blessing. And they don't even know it. But they encourage me in ways they don't even know. And there's some people I'm praying they don't open their mouth. Amen. Amen. We ought to make a new decision about our words. Let's ask God to set a watch over our mouth. We ought to make some decisions about, put on some new decisions, not only about our words, but about our ways. About our ways. I asked a guy the other day if he's going to heaven, if he knew where he's going when he died. Here's what he said, to hell if I don't change my ways. Your ways don't send you to hell. And that's what I told him. I said, man, it ain't your ways you're going to hell for, it's your heart. But man, they some Christians ought to change their ways. They ought to change their ways. I had a man sit in my office and his wife was all upset because he never told her he loved her. He said, well, it's just not my way. He said, my daddy never told me he loved me. I said, well, it ain't your wife's fault your daddy was an idiot. I said, you need to change your way. Learn how to tell your wife you appreciate and you love her. Amen, we need to change our ways. Some of your ways is I don't get mad, I get even. You need to change that way. You okay? We need to change our words, our way. We need to change our witness. We need to change our witness. You're a witness one way or the other. You understand that? Your life is, somebody said your life is the only book, only Bible some people ever read. You're a witness one way or the other. You're a witness for Christ or against Him. I wonder how many people look at your life and examine you at work or at school or wherever the case may be and say, man, if that's Christianity, I don't want a part of it. If that's what being saved's about, I don't want to be saved. Man, we ought to make it the gospel appealing to others. Man, if all you are is judgmental against your family and your friends and your co-worker, if all you ever do is judge them and tell them how sorry and how wicked they are, You better change your ways, friend. The only people Jesus treated like that was the religious crowd. He didn't treat sinners that way. You know what he did? He sat down and had lunch with them. He didn't stand there and say, you're going to go to hell for drinking that beer. You're not going to go to hell for drinking a beer. You'll go to hell for rejecting Christ. That's not the way he interacted with people. We need to change our ways. Some things we need to put on. Let's stand to our feet. Certainly there's some things in our life we need to put off, but no doubt some things we need to put on. Ashley, whoever's going to sing, get them ready for the invitation. Let's just mind the Lord. I preached too long tonight. I apologize. But boy, if we could put these things on, if we could put off that old man, put on that new man, and with that new man comes these new things, these fruits of the Spirit, vows of mercies, kindness, tenderness, forgiveness. Man, if we could put that stuff on, it'd change your life. While they get ready to sing tonight, let's just mind the Lord. God, dealing with your heart, why don't you come?